You're listening to
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life, and I got mountains to climb. And we're just so grateful to be here this morning. We're just grateful to be alive on this morning. There's so many people that are leaving this earth at a high rate of speed, and we're just so grateful that God allowed our eyes to be open on this morning, and that we have the use and the activity of our limbs, that the blood is still pumping warm in our veins. So while we have an opportunity, we have to share the word of God. We have to let them know that there is a Savior that can save them. He's already died on a cross, and his blood was shed that they might be saved, that they might have eternal life, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we have to tell them, while there's yet time, we have to tell them and let them know. And that's our great commission, to go ye therefore in all nations, wherever we are. We have to tell them about Jesus. We have to let them know that what they're going through, that there's an answer, and the answer is in Jesus. And we will be ridiculed. We will be persecuted. We will be go through some hard times. We will have sickness in our bodies, and we will have financial turmoil and distress. But there is one who has already covered everything when he took those stripes on his back and he shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross on a hill called Golgotha. And so we have to let them know. Let us go before the throne of grace. Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. Father, we come not as our will, but as your will. We can do nothing without your Spirit leading us and guiding us and teaching us and bringing to our remembrance every word that you have said from your holy writ. Father, we come this morning in the name of Jesus, seeking your guidance, seeking your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, because we know not what to say. We don't even know what to pray, Lord. But the Spirit make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We relinquish ourselves right now. None of us and all of you, Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Touch right now the hearts and the minds of your people that are listening right now to the words going over the airwaves. Let it fall on the fertile soils of their heart, that your word might germinate, come to life, and bear much fruit. Father, we lift up those this morning to you that may be on their beds of affliction. Father, you know they've been up all night in pain, worrying about that wayward child. Lord God, Father, just touch right now in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of Jesus, because there's no other way that we can come to you, Father. We come in the name of Jesus. So when you look at us and you listen to us, you don't see us, but you see the blood. You see your son, Jesus. And we ask that you would just have your way over these airways. Take authority. We take authority right now in the name of Jesus. We bind the hand of the enemy that would try to come and steal this word before it is able to accomplish what you set it out to accomplish. We curse that enemy right now to the pits of hell from whence he come. And we speak blessing and favor over all that are listening. Trust in Jesus this morning. If you not received him, trust him this morning. Give your life to Christ. Listen to the words, because he sent forth his word and he healed them. His word came forth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the answer to everything. He's our only way. He's our only way to heaven. He's our only way to salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in Jesus this morning. Lord, we just thank you. We bless you for this opportunity, Lord. Not I, but you. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And this morning, we're looking at Matthew, the 9th chapter. And we've been looking at this as Jesus is going about healing and delivering folk. Jesus never sat down. Jesus was always on the move, whether he was crossing the Sea of Galilee, climbing up on the mount, on the high place to talk to God. And if Jesus did all this praying, Jesus had to get away from everybody sometimes, from his disciples, his apostles, from the crowds. They always come around Jesus because of the anointing, because of the word. He is the truth, the way, and the life. So he would draw, people would draw to him, even those that didn't like him, because he was shining a light on them. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and the rulers of that time, they were upset. They was envious and jealous of Jesus because the light that he was shining, because he was preaching grace, and he had mercy on the people. And they were beating the people up with the word, with the law. And so Jesus, whenever the light comes, darkness can't comprehend it. And so they had a problem with Jesus, but Jesus went about doing the Father's will. He didn't let that deter him. So we have to be in that same mindset. And even when we're going through, we have to pray for others. I heard a preacher talking yesterday, and his sermon, his topic was simple. Pray for me. Pray for me, because none of us are there. We haven't arrived yet. We're steady learning, and we're steady growing in the realm of the spirit. We have to grow spiritually and to spiritual maturity, and we're never going to know it all. If any man or woman say that they know it all, that they've arrived, they just set themselves up for failure, because pride comes just before the fall, and we will never know it all. We will never know all the mysteries of this word, but we study to show ourselves approved, and we must continue to study, because we'll be learning until Jesus cracked the sky. We will never know it all until we meet him face to face, and then we can ask him what we want to ask him. But while we're here, we must do what Jesus did. He was an example. He was an example of how we must go about our Father's business, how we must go about kingdom building and leading folk to Christ. Because at the end of the day, everything that we do is about leading souls to Christ, because he's the only one that can save them. He's the only one that can heal them. He's the only one that can give them eternal life. He's the answer to everything. And we're looking at Matthew this morning, but I'm gonna cross-reference with Luke and Mark also, because the story in here is a little more detailed in the other gospels. But I'm gonna start at verse 18. And it reads as thus: while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Amen. Amen. Jesus is always moving. Jesus was on his way to Jairus. In the other gospel, it names this ruler as Jairus, which was the ruler of the synagogue. And his daughter, imagine this now, his only daughter. That make me consider the fact that God gave his only son. Jairus's only daughter is dying as he's speaking. She wasn't dead when he left, but he's sure that she's dead by now as he has come to Jesus for help. And that's where we have to go for help. Jesus is our help. And the way we communicate and connect with Jesus is through his word and through prayer. That's why I was so infatuated with what the man of God said, pray for me. And sometimes we're going through, and we don't have to give folk all the details, but we could just tell them, pray for me. Because the success of any man or woman of God that is leading a congregation, or that is just in a place of leadership, or just one who is following Christ, a disciple, we need prayer. We can't do this alone. We're going to have attacks. So when we touch and agree together, when we touch and agree together, that's power. Because we can put more to flight. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So there's power in agreement. And so we have to pray for one another. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus has come to him and say, Master, teacher, I worship you. I magnify you. I know who you are. I know that you're the Son of God. This is what he's saying to himself. He knew who Jesus was, and he knew that Jesus could help him. And he said that I know even now she's dead. But if you just touch her, and she shall live. So that was great faith. He believed that Jesus could change his situation. But Jesus, like many of us on our way to church, on our way to a conference, on our way to work, on our way to the grocery store, we may encounter someone that needs our help, someone that needs Jesus, and we can introduce them to Jesus. We can pray for them. We can touch and agree with them because this man's only daughter. So I can imagine the hurt. I can imagine the turmoil that was going on inside of him as he came to Jesus. But he worshiped him first. He praised him for who he is. And that's what we have to do. We have to praise him. We don't come asking, but we come praising him and worship him and lifting him up because of who he is. That's the first thing we do. That's the first thing we do. And now he's on his way. He's on his way. And Mark even talks about how Mark's even talk about Jairus, you know, being an official that, you know, he takes care of the synagogue. So this man has a high position, but he knew that there's someone that has more authority than him. And he realized that this is out of his hands, because even though he's a religious man and he's a ruler of the synagogue, he know that this death is out of his hand. His daughter's dying, and there's nothing he can do about it. And when we have exhausted all our possibilities, we should always come to Jesus first, but a lot of times we'll try to do it ourselves, and we'll try to make it happen in our own strength. But when we have exhausted us and got flesh, got the carnality, got us out of the way, then that's the time for Jesus to work a miracle in our life. Because when we're laying flat on our back and we can't do nothing but look up, that's the time when Jesus can move on our behalf. Because a lot of times we're in the way. We are in the way, and he can't move because we're in the way. But Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, and lo and behold, a woman with an issue of blood. 12 long years. That's a long time to be bleeding internally. And the Bible says that she had went to many physicians. So this woman had to be a woman of means. She had to have money to go to the doctor. We have to have money to go to the doctor. She had money, but she'd exhausted all that she had and only grew worse. But she had heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. So this woman has a disease. It even talks about a plague. She has a plague. She has a disease. She's bleeding on the inside. That's a long time. Most people would be dead if they bleeding that long. So she has a disease in her body and she's bleeding. I can imagine that family members has turned their back on her and they've given up on her, but she's steady pressing. She's steady pressing, and that's what we have to do, no matter what we're going through. And it gets hard sometimes. The warfare is real, especially when you decide to follow Jesus, when you decide to do what's right. You don't have to be in sin. You don't have to be done caused did anything to cause this to come upon you. But because of the nature of this world system, sin entered in after the fall. And so that's why we have diseases. Sin entered in. But there's one who cleanses. His blood cleanses all. So we have to seek him. And this woman kept saying to herself, she didn't stop with the physicians. I'm sure that there's been a many that the doctors say, well, you have a month to live. You have 6 months to live. And they've thrown in the towel. There's nothing more we can do for you. But there's one that has more medicine in the hem of his garment, that there's healing power in the hem of his garment than all the physicians in the land. And she continually said to herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. And this woman was considered to be unclean, but she believed. And she had faith. And she kept saying, and that's what we have to do. We have to see it in the realm of the spirit before it ever manifests in the natural. That's what faith is. Faith is supernatural. But it's our currency for heaven. You don't have to have no money. She spent all the money she had with the doctors, but only grew worse. But there's a currency in heaven. There's a spiritual currency called faith. She believed that Jesus could help her. Jesus could make her whole. And she could have been stoned for coming out into public, into the crowd of people, unclean. But she come up behind Jesus. As Jesus is making his way, it say they thronged him. They pressed in. They crowded around him. Wherever Jesus went, there was a crowd. That's why a lot of times he had to go up to the mountain to pray, to get away from the crowd, to get away from the distraction, to get away from all the noise and the cares of this world. But this woman pressed in. She pressed in through the crowd. And I want to say that this woman's body was probably so frail, and she was probably not very much to look at because her body was draining. She was losing the life. The life is in the blood. So she was losing life. So I really think in my sanctified mind that this woman probably had to crawl through the press, huh? Through the presses and the throng of all these people. She had to crawl to get to Jesus. And I can hear her saying now, if I could just touch him, I'll be made whole. She pressed in her faith and she crawled through the crowd and reached up and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately the blood stopped. She knew right then her body was made whole. But Jesus felt something because virtue, power left Jesus. Virtue left him because her faith demanded something from Jesus. And that's how we have an inheritance It's our blood-born right. Huh? Healing is the children's bread. It's our right because we are heirs. We are heirs to God. We are joint heirs with Christ. So that's our big brother. We have a blood-bought right. But we have to take it by faith. And she went in and took her healing. She went in and reached forth and touched him. And power left him. And he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Which was, you know, Jesus already knew the answer. He already knew the answer when he asked the question. Because he knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So he already knew. But he was making a point. Huh? That somebody just touched me with some faith. Huh? Somebody just put a demand on the anointing, huh? On the power, on the deity, on my life. And somebody just pulled on virtue. She pulled power by faith. And Jesus turned around. And the other gospels say that she told him all. Because she was trembling and fearful. He told her, "Be not afraid. Don't worry. Daughter," he called her daughter. So she's now part of the kingdom. She's entered in into the kingdom. Huh? She's been elevated. She's been made whole, and she's part of the kingdom. He called her daughter. And that wasn't, you know, uncommon for a rabbi to call a young Jewish girl daughter. So Jesus told her, "You made whole. Go your way." But her faith, and she continually, that's what really, really touched me about this whole thing is she continually said it to herself. And we have to continually meditating on that word, meditating on it, continually prophesying it. Because once the words go out, they ain't going to return void. And God's word, you speaking in faith, it's going to accomplish that which it was set out to accomplish. And you're going to have what you say. So if you speaking doom and gloom, "I'm dying and I ain't going to never get well and they're going to be putting me in the ground," that's what you're going to get. But she was speaking life because she knew that if she could just touch him, touches him and his garment that was close down to where she was, she could just touch any part of him, she was going to be made whole. And she was made whole. So Jesus presses his way onto Jairus' house. And I can imagine Jairus was getting livid. He was getting beside himself because he's come to Jesus first. But Jesus has stopped to take the time to deal with this daughter, to deal with this issue. And that's how Jesus was as he was going about his way. He would stop and take the time. And we can't get in too big of a hurry that we can't stop and take the time to lead somebody to Jesus, to pray with them, to touch and agree with them, to lead them in the sinner's prayer, to speak a blessing over them, give them a word of encouragement. We can't be in too big of a hurry, no matter where we're on our way to. So he goes to Jairus' house, and they everywhere. They wailing and funeral music playing, and everybody, it's a lot of noise, a lot of distractions. So the other gospels say that Jesus put him out. He put him out. And he told him, "Look, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. She's only sleeping." And see, as saints, as born-again believers, as disciples, followers of Jesus, we don't die, we go to sleep. We go to sleep until that time when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ rise first. And they laughed at him. They laughed to scorn. They made fun of him. They probably said, "This man crazy. What are you talking about? She dead." Even yet while he was on his way, they said that one came from Jairus' house, probably a servant, who knows, but came with the news, said, "She's dead. Why are you troubling the master? She's already dead." But the ruler had already said that if you just touch her, she'll live. So his faith had already spoke. He'd already spoke the end from the beginning. And he put them out, except for James and John and Peter and the mother and the father of that child. And he touched her. And he said, Talitha kumi, which means, damsel, rise up. And she rose up. And he told him, don't let nobody know. Don't tell nobody. And Jesus often told him that. But the popularity grew because Jesus, that's what he did. Even when he healed folk a lot of time, he said, tell no one, you know. But when you get your blessing, when you get your breakthrough, it's hard to keep it to yourself. Even like the 10 lepers, only one came back and thanked Jesus. Huh? Only one came back and thanked him. So today, we got to seek Jesus. He's the answer for everything. And things are crazy. Things are all kind of ways out of whack. But Jesus is still in control. And he ain't missed a beat. He don't sleep. He don't slumber. He's in control of your situation. Seek him. Speak his word. Study his word. Meditate on his word. And if it is his will, he will heal you. He will make you whole. He will save you from a burning hell. Turn to him today. Keep saying to yourself, if I could but touch Jesus, touch him in your prayer, touch him in the word. You can have salvation today. You can have healing today. Seek Jesus while he yet may be found. Because there's coming a time when you won't be able to find him. Seek him now. Seek him now. Seek him now while he yet may be found. And we bless y'all. And we're praying for y'all. And until next time, God bless you and keep you. Amen. Amen. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust them at all times.